Hello and welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. John Cook. I'm glad you joined us. In today's study, we will continue our series on Just a Thought on the Book of Revelation. We'll get right into our series right after this. We now join in progress part 1 of 6 on our study. Our study today brings us to the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to show you what God has to say to the church in Sardis. We will consider the application of this letter to the local church it is written to the church age it speaks to, and to the same type of church that we would find in our midst today. Turn in your Bible right now to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And there we read, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Notice that as the Lord addresses the angel of the church in Sardis, he is referring to the pastor of the church. At least that's what I believe. There are others who believe that this speaks to the messenger to the churches. Well, a pastor is a messenger. Or perhaps to some spiritual appearance before the throne of God for each of the churches. What we find here is that the Lord holds each of the pastors of the churches in his hands. He controls these pastors, for they are subject to the chief shepherd. This is what 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 tells us. Listen to what it says. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," this is the Lord Jesus Christ, "ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." For each pastor is but the under-shepherd to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd. We are then answerable to him for what we say and what we do in the churches. In addition, the scripture says we shall give an account for the sheep that have been entrusted to us. That's the congregation that God has given us. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, where the scripture says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." That's what God says to the members of the churches. So each pastor should consider the grave responsibility that is ours in the churches, and each member should consider the grave responsibility that is theirs in each of the churches. As we consider the Lord speaking to the angel of the church in Sardis, we find that he says that they are a dead church. What we have here is a personal message from the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23 tells us that Christ is the head of the church. Listen to it. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." This is the church that the Lord Jesus Christ bought with his own blood, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Listen to that verse of scripture. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So Jesus, as the head of the church, addresses the angel of the church in Sardis. Now, the word Sardis means red ones. In addition, it also means a remnant or escaping ones. This Sardis church age period is the church age of the Reformation church. It is typified by martyrdom and bloodshed. The Sardis church is the fifth church to receive a letter addressed to them by the Savior. Sardis itself was about 60 miles inland from Ephesus and Smyrna. It was, at that time, the capital of the Lydian Empire, a very important city in the Roman Empire. If we were to be in that city, we would find a temple to the goddess Artemis, which was Diana of the Romans. We would also find a large synagogue, which gives testimony to the fact that there was a large Jewish influence in that city. Their population was known as being faint-hearted and soft. But there was nothing soft about this church or faint-hearted. They suffered for Jesus. Not like some people think they are suffering today. When they think they're suffering for Jesus when the weather's hot, or when things get tough, or when the weather's too cold, or the air conditioning's not working, or the heating's not working. We think we're suffering great persecution. But these suffered great persecution, giving their very lives for the Savior. The church in Sardis represents, as I said, the Reformation churches. These are the churches that are said to have a name of being alive, but are in fact dead. They were dead because they became state churches. So everybody in the neighborhood belonged to the church, saved and lost. They were also dead because they did not leave behind all the customs and teachings of the Roman church when they came out. They made many of them spiritual teachings instead of physical teachings. But nonetheless, these teachings polluted the church. They were also dead because they preferred to trust the state instead of God for their economic needs.